That's an important question. So let's talk about orientation. Genesis chapter 3 is the place really where the differences are. Also, Ezekiel 28 shows us the original issues with orientation. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Right there, we have a major warning sign from God. The serpent is more subtle than any beast of the field. The word subtle there in the original language means crafty and cunning. It doesn't mean only subtle. Part of this craftiness, part of his cunning is that he is so subtle. And we don't always recognize it. Just like God speaks in a still small voice, Satan is also subtle, but it's not a still small voice. It's what he utilizes. He speaks with us all the time. We don't really recognize it all too often. Temptation, for example, in Matthew chapter 4, he is the tempter. He tempts us all the time. He speaks with us all the time. I read a guy one time who's a pretty good author, but I disagreed strongly with this point. He said, people blame Satan for too many things. And in some ways, I understand what he's getting at. It's basically, I can't shred personal responsibility because of the devil. Yes, that is true. That is a correct statement. However, everything has a source. And ultimately, the source is one kingdom or another. Which kingdom I'm going to respond to is going to depend on my orientation, number one, and then my content, number two, and of course my humility. If I am humble, I will be listening for the word of God. The humble will hear, the word of God says. The meek will be taught, and the humble will hear. Meekness is simply humility toward God. Humility is when I agree with the word of God. Humility is not self-effacing, it's not self-abasing, it's not self-anything. Sometimes people think that in order to be humble, they have to be self-abasing. That still keeps them being the issue. That's still actually a form of pride. Pride is when I don't agree with the Word of God. My orientation will be determined by humility and pride. In Habakkuk 2:4, the Word of God says, "The soul that is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live by faith." There you have the contrast between humility and pride. The person who is proud will be self-oriented. The person who is humble, and remember, being just before God is a function of humility, that person is going to live by faith. And remember, faith is counted to us as righteousness in Romans chapter 3. Faith is counted to us as righteousness. And so we have a few components here. All right, now, where did it all come from? It came, as far as we're concerned, from Eve's interaction with the serpent. The serpent comes and he says to Eve, and this is what the original language says, it's different than the King James writes it, but if you study the original language, this is what it'll say. Does it make any sense that you should be able to eat of any tree of the garden, but not of the best tree of the garden? Does that make any sense? And of course, Eve's thinking to herself, she has a relationship with the angels. Ezekiel 31 shows us this, that the trees were representative of the angels. She has a relationship with the angels, and this is also why she wanted to be as small g gods. The word there is Elohim, that refers to the angels. And so, she already had a relationship and an understanding and an appreciation for the angels. She admired them. And Satan says to her, does it make any sense that you could eat of any tree but not the best tree? Therein was the mistake. God's will is not something that we can figure out. The Word of God says He puts eternity in their heart, but then it says, so no man can understand what God does from beginning to end. We have no ability, we have no frame of reference to have understanding of what God says or does, or really, I should say, why God says the things He says, or why He does the things He does. Isaiah 55 says, God's ways are above our ways, and God's thoughts are above our thoughts. That means we can't possibly know them. So, when God says something, we don't say to ourselves, does that make any sense to me? When the Word of God says to me, for example, be a soul winner, it's amazing how many churches will say no. We will not evangelize, we will not be soul winners. There's a church here in town. The congregation wanted to go out and get an evangelism program, and the pastor said, no, we're not going to do that. And that's a pastor who is not living in any form of obedience to God. The congregation had more of a heart after God than he did. Why is he doing that? Because it doesn't make any sense to him. People will say, it doesn't work. Well, what they're doing is they're saying, in our understanding, this is not the way to do things. It doesn't matter what our understanding is. My ways and thoughts are not the same as God's ways and thoughts. For example, let's continue with the evangelism idea. If I evangelize, we call it soul winning. If I evangelize, if I soul win, the first soul that I win is my own. I don't soul win for your sake. I don't soul win for the sake of the lost. I soul win for my sake. Proverbs tells us in chapter 11 and verse 30, he that wins souls is wise. Then it says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. That means that there is a connection between winning souls and having proper understanding and application of the Word of God. I sow in because God says to sow in. If this school of thought is correct, well, it doesn't work. Well, we understand what it means. In this area, this is a hard area. You don't get a lot of people responding around here. So why sow in? Well, if we use that line of reasoning, why should Jeremiah sow in? Why would Jeremiah ever preach? Why would Jeremiah ever try to tell people, this is what God says, when the response he got was hatred? I'll tell you why. Because God gave it to him. His audience was not the people he was preaching to. They were his target. His audience was actually God. And he was doing it before God, directed by God, toward the individuals he was to speak to. Jeremiah's preaching was a matter of obedience. Our soul winning is a matter of obedience. Why should I do it this way? Because that's what God said. That's all I really need. That's what God said. I'm going to do it because that's what God said. I'm going to do things because God says for me to do things. Certain things are outlined in the Word of God. I don't have to pray about what God already specifically says in the Bible. Praying about that is actually sin, because it's not a faith response. Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so, I become oriented toward the Word of God, and I become responsive in my orientation. Eve became disoriented to the Word of God. She started out being oriented. She ended up being disoriented. Why? She listened to the wrong source. She should have never entertained what the serpent was saying. The right response would have been, as Zechariah 3 says, the Lord rebuke you. She became self-oriented when she started saying to herself, under the influence of the serpent, does it make any sense? And she started thinking to herself, does it make any sense? Now here's Eve with a finite mind, a created being lower than the angels, And she's trying to evaluate whether the mind of God makes any sense. That is a futile effort. That's a ridiculous effort. How in the world can I possibly evaluate whether the mind of God makes any sense? God didn't say, do what I tell you so long as you understand why. God said, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:6. And so, I have a faith response if I am to please God. That's why the soul that's lifted up in itself is not upright in Him. Because the soul that is lifted up is going to be wondering, does this make any sense? Should I be doing this? Now, in and of themselves, the questions aren't wrong. But the question isn't, should I be? The question is it the will of God or is it not the will of God? And if it is the will of God, I don't worry about why or how or anything. If it's not the will of God, I don't even go there. I don't think about it. I don't worry about it. I don't entertain it. I know it's not the will of God. Forget it. I'm not going to entertain it. Self-orientation will entertain it. Eve already knew what the will of God was. Then she threw in a little bit of holiness. The you shall not even touch it part, that was a holiness issue. She got that from the angels. The angels wouldn't touch it because they're holy. God never told Eve not to touch it. God told Eve, don't eat it. And so she starts thinking. She starts operating on the basis of sight, of hearing, something Isaiah tells us that Jesus never did do. And now she's in trouble. If I operate on the basis of my natural ability to figure things out, I will always get it wrong. Always. Because God's the only one who knows the end from the beginning. Things never make sense to the Spirit-filled believer. The Spirit-filled believer is not looking for them to make sense. I'm not saying that the Spirit-filled believer is irresponsible. I'm saying that the Spirit-filled believer is responsive and not worried about whether he can figure it out. I'll tell you right now, the will of God is not something you can figure out. You can respond to it, you can know it, you can't figure it out. Why should I do that? God tells us on a need-to-know basis. Why? Because He wants us to operate in faith. So He'll deal with us on a need-to-know basis. So Eve's over there becomes self-oriented. Gives it to Adam. Here's the thing about that. Self-orientation is infectious. Why? Because self-orientation is iniquity. If you want a definition of iniquity that's very simple to understand, self-orientation is iniquity. Sit right there. It goes against the will of God. It goes against the mind of God. It goes against the plan of God. It goes against everything that is of God. It is self-orientation. It is highly susceptible to the enemy. This is the way the enemy works. He sends a whisper we call a projection. And he whispers in your ear. And the believer doesn't recognize it. Often. A sharp believer will recognize it. But a believer who's not well taught will often not recognize it. And the enemy whispers in the ear, wouldn't that be nice? Or, I didn't like that. Or, how can that person do that? How can that person say that? Not for me, you don't. All kinds of whispers. Never humility. But all kinds of whispers. Never a faith response to the Word of God, but all kinds of whispers. The reason why we don't recognize it often is because we think we're listening to our own thinking. That's where the subtlety comes in. When Satan whispers, he has no voice. Satan therefore has to project an idea, a thought, to my mind. And the thoughts are processed in my brain. like this. Do you have a dog? I know what my dog wants. 9 times out of 10, I can tell you what my dog wants. That's just a dog. But I look at my dog, and my dog looks at me, and I said, you want to go out, don't you? You're hungry, aren't you? You want to get up on the sofa, don't you? 9 times out of 10, I'll be right on the money with that. I know what my dog wants. He doesn't say a word. We know that very little of communication is actually verbal. So the fact that he has no voice doesn't mean he can't communicate. Satan sends a communication to my mind. My brain processes it. So it's processed using my mental machinery. The same mental machinery that processes my thinking. Satan is not the only one who uses our machinery. Viruses use our machinery to reproduce. A virus has no ability in and of itself to reproduce, so it has to invade our cells or a host cell, and then it uses that cell's machinery to reproduce itself. He does that with our thinking. He uses our mental machinery to reproduce his thoughts. And because it's my mental machinery, it sounds like my own thinking. That's precisely what happened to Adam and Eve. They look at each other and say, whoa, we're naked. What's with this? What's with this is you were created this way. This is the way you were made to be. But now it's a problem. Why? Satan is utilizing now their mental machinery. He's bringing in division. He's bringing in issues where there are no issues. But because they're thinking with natural thinking, which gives their mental processes over to the enemy, you want to be easily manipulated, you go for natural thinking. I've never read it myself, I would never read it myself, and I would tell anyone who's thinking about it, never ever read this. But I know a guy who read the Satanic Bible. And I was talking to him about it one time, and he said, in the Satanic Bible, they tell you, do not be a Satan worshiper. Don't be nasty. Don't be any of those things. Just be self-oriented. Look out for your own will. Look out for your own benefit. Look out for number one. Why? Because as long as you're doing that, you're a sucker for the enemy. He's got you exactly where he wants you. He remains hidden behind you. Nobody's going to recognize him. That's the last thing he really wants, is for people to recognize him. And he's running the show. Look at the problems the world has. It all comes out of the same source. People live in self-orientation and natural reasoning apart from the Word of God. And this one wants that, and that one wants that, and that one wants the other thing, and it makes perfect sense to each side that this is the way it should be. And all of them will say, well, no, this is my opinion. This is just what I'm thinking. That guy who shot up those precious people in Las Vegas, it was horrible. Where did that come from? That came from a guy whose thinking had been influenced by the devil. And I don't care if you say he was crazy. Crazy is a legal term. Crazy is not a medical term. Crazy is a legal term. I don't care what you may think of his mental processes, they were given over to the enemy. How do I know that? Because Satan kills. John 10:10. He steals, kills, and destroys. Satan kills. This guy's mental processes are given over to the enemy. He doesn't even realize it because he's listening but thinking that it's his own thinking because it's his mental machinery. And it is something that is absolutely evil. And people scratch their head, well, how can this be? And I understand the question. Yes, it's worthwhile answering, but at the same time, the answer is, Satan is how this can be. Well, you know, if I'm tempted to have an affair, if I'm tempted to steal something, if I'm tempted to whatever it is, it doesn't even have to be that dramatic. If I'm tempted to be nasty to my kid or my spouse or what have you, I can excuse it with feeling like I'm right all that I want. It's simply a response. Satan loves these three words. But I'm right. loves those words. More evil comes into play, especially in all sorts of relationships, by those three words. But I'm right. Doesn't matter if you're right. Right has nothing to do with it. Truth is what we want. John 17:17 says, sanctify them according to thy word. Thy word is truth. Not thy word is fact, thy word is truth. If it's factual, that's the small part of it. That's the less significant portion. It's truth. What is the truth? Truth is that which comes from God relating to the kingdom. That's truth. So the people who hit the Jews and lied to the Nazis, they were living in truth. They were not living in facts. They were living in truth. John chapter 7, when Jesus said to his brothers, I'm not going up to the feast. And then he goes on later. He wasn't living in fact. He was living in truth. Because he knew what the kingdom required. And so he's living in truth. When I live in that which promotes the kingdom of God, I'm living in truth regardless of facts. God didn't say, sanctify them according to the word. Your word is fact. God said, sanctify them according to thy word. Your word is truth. A kingdom thing. He said, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. Not I'm the facts, the way, and the life. People are so occupied with their facts. The problem with facts is we have no mental capacity to evaluate what facts are. Any police detective will tell you witnesses are not that useful. Because everybody's account is based in their perceptions, and everybody's perceptions is based largely in their unconscious mind, which they have no control over. So you see black cats in shady rooms that don't actually exist. Why? Perceptions. Satan wants us to live in natural thinking because then we're going to live in natural perceptions. Self-orientation will bring natural perceptions through natural thinking on the foundation of what we think we see and what we think we hear. What we don't always understand is that we see and hear nothing at all. Seeing and hearing are illusions. Sight works like this. A light source, I mean, I shouldn't even say a light source, light bouncing off of something in the form of photons reaches my retina. My retina has cells in it called rods and cones. Cones do the color, rods do the black and white. The photon, as it reaches the retina, will activate a chemical reaction in the rods or the cones. They will translate that chemical reaction into an electrical impulse that they send up ultimately through the optic nerve to the brain. In the brain in the back, the occipital lobe, the visual cortex, is a clearinghouse for all these impulses. Those impulses are interpreted in different parts of the brain. Now, they are interpreted very quickly. According to the interpretation, that is then sent back to the occipital lobe, the back of the brain, by these various parts of the brain will paint you a picture. And that's what we call sight. Here's the problem with that. Only 10% of the visual information that's out there actually reaches the retina. And so my brain has very little to work with. What I actually receive and what I think I receive are extremely different. All right, block out 90% of what you think you see. Then you will have an idea of what the brain has to work with. So you put your hands in front of your eyes, you block out about 90%. That's what your brain has to work with. That's the amount of information it's receiving in order to paint you pictures. Hearing works the same way. Hearing is simply when sound waves, and that's simply atoms in the air bumping against each other, bump against the tympanic membrane, the eardrum. There's fluid behind the eardrum. As the eardrum sways back and forth, little waves are caused in the fluid, in the cochlea. Well, there's these little cells called hair cells in the cochlea. As the fluid moves across these hair cells, the hair cells sway back and forth. That swaying back and forth then produces an electrical impulse in those cells that they send through the cochlear nerve to the brain. Then those impulses are separated, interpreted, put back together, and it plays you some sounds. Have you ever heard something that sounds like something else? You know what's interesting is how movies cause sound effects to happen. It seems because they connect it to pictures, like, well, that makes a lot of sense. But if you actually see, and I saw a documentary on this one time, the way that they produce sound effects for movies is nowhere near what you're looking at. It's completely, absolutely something different. I mean, you got a guy over there playing with blocks or water or, you know, rubbing one thing against another into a microphone. The sound of it is juxtaposed with a picture, and you could swear that that's what you're hearing is what you're seeing, and they're two totally different things. You see, walking by sight or by the hearing of the ears is futile, but that's what the tree of knowledge of good and evil was all about. It wasn't about not knowing good from evil. It was about the type of knowledge. In the original language there, it makes it clear that it's talking about knowledge gained by the empirical senses. When I'm living by this type of knowledge, interpreted by these natural senses and natural thinking, apart from God's Word, I'm self-oriented. Self-orientation isn't what we always think of. Self-orientation is not necessarily this arrogant conceit that people often think of it being. Some people that seem like the most wonderful people in the world are actually extraordinarily self-oriented. How do we live then? We live by faith. We mix faith in Hebrews 4:2 with what we hear. The picture is that faith and what I hear become one entity. When faith and what I hear from the Word of God become one entity, in other words, they're so closely linked that the moment I hear it, I trust it as defining reality. This is why you have to receive as a small child. How does that work? Okay. A small child receives from mom or dad. Anybody who has had small children knows exactly what I'm talking about. A small child receives from mom or dad. Mom says, this is what that is. And that defines reality. If you do not come to God as a small child, you will in no wise see the kingdom of God. Kingdoms speak of governments. It's not talking about salvation. It's talking about the Word of God will not be governing in your heart. Self-orientation prevents the Word of God from governing in my heart. The mystery of iniquity is really the mystery of self-orientation. If self-orientation is the government that I have no government except how Satan can influence me through the various means that he has in the world as the God of this world system. When I'm living in Christ orientation, I'm living in the mind of God. So how do I get the mind of God? First of all, I have to deny self-orientation. That's why Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow me. How do I deny self-orientation? Casting down every imagination and high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ and bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of God. So that means when I get these self-oriented thoughts, and it does take a little bit of mental toughness, a little bit of mental discipline, can't be a lazy spirit-filled believer in that sense. It takes a little mental discipline. I know the thought is not of God, and so I cast it down. I hurl it away from me. Literal language. Hurl it away. Hurl away any thought that doesn't come from God. That exalts itself, that elevates itself above what the Word of God says. Bring every thought into captivity. Bring it into obedience. What does that mean? My thought life is going to be rooted in God's Word. Now, at first, that may take a little bit of self-discipline, but this is why faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. If I'm receiving the Word of God because of the way the brain works, I'm not going to have any trouble having the Word of God be my frame of reference. People will have something happen and they'll meditate on it. All they're doing is causing it to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Something happens, I don't worry about it. Why? Because why would I? The Word of God grows and grows and grows and grows. And thereby, I have the mind of Christ. If I have the mind of Christ, then the Word of God becomes the governing principle in my frame of reference, which determines what my thoughts are going to be. And now, without any striving at all, I'm living with the mind of God. God-oriented. Remember, Jesus' name, one of them, is Word of God. If I want to be God-oriented, I have to be oriented to His Word as my foundation. If I'm oriented to His Word, then His Word becomes governing. If I'm self-oriented, then something else will be governing. If I'm self-oriented, though, the natural result is going to be separation from God and separation from people. That's the first two things they did. They separated themselves from each other, made themselves fig leaves. Why? And then God came looking for them and they hid themselves because they were naked and afraid. Well, they've always been naked. Fear comes through self-orientation. How do I enter into God orientation? Humility and the Word of God. Deny myself, that takes humility. Get rid of the self-orientation. Do not entertain it. Do not indulge it. But I'm right. Oh, there's Satan's voice. Humility. Don't indulge that which is not of God. Pick up your cross. Pick up your cross means enter into the life of God, Galatians 2:20. Enter into the life of God, which is imparted to us through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, taking that Word and applying it to our hearts. And then I follow Him. Then I'm interested in, what is your will, God? What are you thinking? What are you doing? Where are you going? Simply follow Him. And there I have God orientation. Does that answer your question?